You're with Jordan Kanellis on SEN, your home of sport.
More telling was in 2014. He had this thing by the throat and it got away from him. He should have won on that occasion, but he's going to do it today. He makes the run down to the final corner and Shane van Gisbergen is about to put his foot on the brake for the very last time. Shane van Gisbergen takes victory at Mount Panorama. Red Bull Holden Racing Team and Triple Eight Racing have just succeeded, and for Holden in their final year with the brand being retired from Australia, have won Australia's biggest motor race. Fantastic job.
Chaos, noisy chaos, team radios, commentators, engines, it's everything you want if you're a motorsport fan. It was, I guess we're used to it now, a little unsettling to see not many people there, but that's just the story of 2020. But if you ignore that and you watch what happened on the track, it was a momentous occasion, as it always is at Mount Panorama, but especially when it's a first-time winner in the case of Shane van Gisbergen, who takes the Bathurst 1000 title for 2020. Another great weekend. And with us here on SEN this Sunday night, Jordan Kanellis with you, is the host of The Driver's Seat, which you can hear on SEN, and you can check them out on the app and the podcast. Maddie McElden is with us. Hello, Maddie.
Hey, Jordan, how are you, mate?
I'm good. What a race that ended up being, and another great close finish as well. You know that when you get a safety car or a couple of safety cars in the last 10 laps that you're in for a thrilling finish, and this time it was Shane van Gisbergen for the first time in his career. He's always been one of the heavyweights of the modern supercars era and always been in contention for drivers' championships and Bathurst, but he finally did it.
And he's been so close a couple of times now that to see him finally get to the top set was fantastic to see. And what a fantastic way for Holden, their official factory team, to bow out of supercars with a win at the mountain. But as you say, very, very close at the end. And I think it's been about the last 15 years or so, the race has been decided by two cars that are each going around within a second of each other. So it was a cliffhanger right at the end.
Yeah, the final time difference was 0.87 seconds, 0.8 of a second, which is another testament to, I guess, the drivers and the teams and the engineers for making it another close race as it has been recently. Tell us about the end of the race. So what actually happened? What made it so close, and how did we get to that bunched finish at the end?
So within the sort of final 10 laps of the race, two cars made it to the fence and the sand trap. The unit car from Matt Stone Racing went in just over Skyline, and then Jack Smith, who drives for Brad Jones Racing and the SCT Commodore, he went into the sand also. And of course, that then bunched the field up, and effectively we had a 3 or 2.5 lap sprint to the end there. And unfortunately, Cam Waters and Will Davison, the Monster Energy Falcon from Tickford, Mustang from Tickford, simply just could not bridge that gap to Shane van Gisbergen. They'd been dominant all day. They'd led for about 105 laps. There was drama earlier in the race when Wincup made the fence at the cutting. Very sad for he and Craig Lowndes. They were expected to be very strong. But up until then, it had been a relatively sedate race. It was relatively sedate in the middle. But then, to coin a phrase from Mark Scales, the race is good. The race went off right at the end there. So 10 laps, drama packed. There would have been people all around the country on their feet, willing their drivers home at the end. But it was Shane van Gisbergen who ultimately took the chocolates.
He has gone so close, as you said before, so many times on the mountain and also in the Drivers' Championship. He's won a Supercars title once. You don't like him up your gearbox, because he'll definitely try and overtake you. He's got no fear, Shane van Gisbergen, the Kiwi. How is it that he's always come so close without actually getting there? And what does it mean now for his legacy, I suppose, his aura, that he's actually now won the Bathurst 1000?
I think, to answer your first question, Shane, you're right, Shane is an intimidating driver, also a very smart driver. He knows where people are. He knows who's around the place. He knows who's stopped We saw that in Adelaide when he slowed down to let his teammate be able to get through and then have a crack at Scotty McLaughlin. So very, very smart driver. Very, very aggressive, and I think that comes from the confidence of his car control. He knows he's got that car on a string. He can do anything with it. And so when you've got that amount of talent and you've got a very good car underneath you, that gives you a level of confidence that that is hard to find. And then thirdly, Weiss, with I think it was Techno Autosport at that stage, came in, did a pit stop, dropped the car, and unfortunately the starter motor killed itself as soon as they dropped the car and the thing wouldn't start. So he's been ever so close. He's always a threat in everything that he does. Any helmet that he pulls on in any race car, in any series around the world, you can expect Shane Van Gisbergen to be up the front. What does it mean for his legacy? Well, he's done the double now, hasn't he? He's done the championship. Now he's done Bathurst. The pressure's off. Now he knows how to win that race. And as I have said before with Scott McLaughlin, you need to learn how to win. He's now won, Shane Van Gisbergen, everything. So this may actually make him even more dangerous.
It always helps when you've got an experienced co-driver alongside you, and normally it goes a long way to winning the Bathurst 1000. Normally the winners do have a very experienced and well-versed co-driver, and I don't think you can get any more experienced as someone like Garth Tander, who now wins his fourth Bathurst 1000, 20 years after the first time he did it, and his legacy grows even stronger again.
Absolutely. I mean, you're exactly right. There are plenty of co-drivers out there, but there's this, I think Larko described them today as this sort of gang of five, who are drivers who are most recently retired, but that you could slot into a full-time seat tomorrow and have a successful campaign. So, yeah, Tander's an unbelievable co-driver. He had that car again. He handed it back to Shane in perfect condition. He's able to give fantastic technical feedback. As you say, he's now a four-time champion himself, the pride of Perth. So good luck. Well done to him. I think that was great to see. And as I said, fantastic for Holden to bow out from an official factory status with a win.
And finally, this was the season-ending race, and it's not normally the case, but with the reschedule of this year, this is the last race of the season, and the champion has been crowned, Drivers Championship, another great achievement for him. But what lies ahead for Scott McLaughlin in the near future? How exciting could his career elevate to?
Well, this time tomorrow, he's on a plane headed to the United States to race an IndyCar for the Penske organisation at the final round of the IndyCar series. So he is on. He's had a stratospheric rise through the ranks here at Supercars. As you say, he's the Bathurst 1000 champion. He's a three-time champion, three on the trot, mind you, and now gets his chance at international stardom with the Penske organisation at IndyCar. And, you know, he tested earlier on in the year in America, when we could travel to the United States. And amongst all of the superstars and veterans of IndyCar, he popped out in third place in the test. So Scotty's one out of the box. He is an incredible talent, a lovely guy. He's incredibly corporately savvy, which is why Roger Penske loves him. And we say farewell to him and we say it's because best of luck. I can't wait next week to see how he goes at St. Pete in the United States, because I get the feeling we've seen the last of Scotty McLaughlin for at least a couple of years, and hopefully that'll mean he's had a major open wheel career ahead of him.
Excellent stuff, Matty. Before I let you go, give the driver's seat a plug. I'm sure you'll go through the full debrief of the Bathurst 1000. So when's the next episode dropping, and how can we hear it?
Wednesday night, SEN live from 8 until 10. We welcome your text messages. We welcome your calls. I've just left Stephen Johnson's house. He should be sober by the time we get to Wednesday night. Nims Azor, he'll be on the panels as usual.
Yep.
Lots to debrief, lots to talk about. And we'll be on, as I say, Wednesday night on SEN from 8 p.m.
Excellent stuff, Matty. Enjoy, and enjoy the rest of your night as well.
Take care. Thanks so much.